Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, this is Saturday night, September the 9th, 2017. Yes, you are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, every Thursday night and every Saturday night. On tonight, my guest again is none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to be bringing forth God's Word on tonight. And as I always ask listeners, please get your Bibles and pens and paper ready. For those of you that may be tuning in for the first time, I always ask the listeners to get your Bibles and pens and paper ready so you can follow along with the man of, or woman of God, whoever the messenger of God is for the night or for the evening, so you can follow along with them and see what thus said the Lord with your own eyes. You won't have to be guessing, did they make it up? Are we making up things? You can see it for yourself what the Lord is saying to his people on today. So I'm asking you to get your Bibles and pens and paper ready to follow along with the man of God as he brings forth God's word. But we also open up with prayer. So I'm asking all the listeners to go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, again, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this another day that you have made. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for who and all that you are. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, Heavenly Father. We thank you for them both because we don't deserve neither one of them. But we just thank you because of who you are. You love us with such an unforgiving love, such a love that we can't even describe or explain. You love us, Heavenly Father, in spite of ourselves. So we just ask that you continue to forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions. I start with myself, then also include my entire family, and also Deacon Marvin Cox and his family, Heavenly Father, and all those that are listening by way of Internet or by way of telephone, Heavenly Father, on tonight, that hearing this word as you get ready to go forth through Deacon Marvin Cox, we pray, Lord, that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our God purpose will not be hindered, that we may be able to accomplish and fulfill our God purpose in the earth for your glory. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come lifting up all those that are maybe tuned in on tonight that do not know your Son, Jesus Christ, who are not saved in his name. It's our prayer and our heart's desire that something will be said on tonight. They will come to know Jesus Christ through your word on tonight, Heavenly Father. They will be able to open their own mouth and surrender and ask Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them from their sins and transgressions so that they too will come to know their God purpose for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can. Heavenly Father, we know that you are still a healer. You change not, and you have no respect of person. So you are our deliverer. You are our healer. So we still stand on your word that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are healed even now by faith. We're healed in Jesus' name, not only me, but for the listeners as well. Heavenly Father, we pray and lift up all those that are going through the hour of bereavement on tonight. I lift up my brother-in-law, Deacon Roger Burney, and my sister, Danetta, and her brother-in-law, Roger's brother, Deacon James Burney, and his wife, Lisa Ann, as they safely made it to Mississippi for the homegoing of their grandfather on this morning. So I thank you for that saving, traveling grace that you extended unto them. And they were able to make it to that service. So I pray, Lord, that as they get ready to head back home on tomorrow, that you will extend traveling grace again unto them, that they will make it home safely and find everything well, that you will be glorified through them. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we lift up all those, Heavenly Father, that are bereaved and the loss of loved ones all over the land, not just my in-laws, not just my family, but all those, and you know who they are. So we pray, Lord, and lift up all those that have lost loved ones in the different hurricanes and the wildfires that's going on all over the world and all over the land. Heavenly Father, you know who they are. So we ask that you would let them feel your presence, let them feel your love, let them know without a doubt that you are with them, even in the hour of bereavement. Let them feel your loving care, Heavenly Father, so that they would be able to continue to hold on to you, their faith in you, and they would be able to hold on to your unchanging hands, knowing that you are the comforter and you are our strength. So we just thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for Deacon Marvin Cox, for the word that you have given to him, for your people on tonight. We just ask that you will help us to decrease so that you may increase in us, that you will be glorified. Heavenly Father, we lift up all bishops and pastors and shepherds all over the land, Heavenly Father, who are standing on your word, who are being true doers of your word without hidden motives and agendas. So we just ask that you will continue to anoint them and bless each house that's going to be open in Jesus' name on tomorrow. Just we pray that you will move by your spirit. Touch each vessel that's going to bring your word on tomorrow, Heavenly Father, all over the land, that souls will be saved, Heavenly Father, that you will be glorified through it all. We just ask that you would have your way on tonight through Deacon Marvin Cox is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought. As Deacon Marvin Cox get ready to come forth and bring the word, he always comes forth now with a poem. The Lord has anointed this young man to be able to write spiritual poems that are uplifting to the body of Christ. So he's going to read a poem on tonight. His poem for tonight is titled Satan Started It. So he's going to start with his poem, and after the reading of his poem, he's going to go directly into the word. But before he comes forth with his poem and the word, I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassadors/vessels and click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. I am so excited to announce that, as some of you all have previously had heard in the past, right before Mother's Day, my younger sister was going to put on a gospel stage play that the Lord has blessed her and anointed her to write. Well, for some reason, it was not the time, but the play has been rescheduled. So the new date will be November the 11th, and it will be held at the Impact Church on the east side of Detroit on Elmdale Street. I will be giving you all more information as we get nearer to the date, but I just want to get the word out so that the listeners in the Detroit and the Michigan area, even those in the Chicago and Indiana area that may be in the Michigan area around that time, you do not want to miss this gospel stage play that the Lord has blessed and anointed my younger sister, Danetta Burney, to write. And the title of the play is Opposite Ends of the Bridge. Again, this gospel stage play is titled Opposite Ends of the Bridge. It will be taking place, again, November the 11th at 7 p.m. at Impact Church on Elmdale Street on the east side of Detroit in Detroit, Michigan. Some of the cast members are well-known evangelists, singing artists. Peggy James will be one of the cast members. Minister Gerard Brooks, he's a musical artist, gospel artist as well. Again, Minister Gerard Brooks. Pastor Ron Todd, he is also a musical artist. Those are three of the cast members that I know of that are in this upcoming gospel stage play. You want to be in attendance. You do not want to miss this, because this through this play, I believe that many families and ministries and communities and homes are going to be, marriages are going to be mended back together through the watching of this gospel stage play, and it's just the beginning for her. I believe this play is going to go worldwide. So that's my prayer for her, that God will be glorified through this prayer, through this gospel play, that he will bless her right, not just only in the Michigan area, but worldwide, because the world needs to see this gospel stage play and play, that God will be glorified through it all. So I just thank God for her and what he's doing in her life, and I thank God for you, the listeners. So I'm asking that you all continue to pass the word on. Let each listener know that every second Thursday and every second Saturday, Deacon Marvin Cox comes forth with a spiritual uplifting poem, and then he also brings the word of God. He is a man of God who is anointed by God to preach the word of God and teach the word of God and also write inspirational poems. So we want to hear what he says through his poem, so stay tuned. And as soon as we get through with this musical break, I'm going to come back and have Deacon Marvin Cox read his poem, and then he's going to go straight into the word right after this musical selection. Worth Living.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die.
Praise the Lord on tonight. Yes, again, you are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. And once again, I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. And tonight is Saturday night, September the 9th, 2017. So I thank God for that praise worship song, Worth Living. Aren't you glad that Jesus thought that our life was worth living, that he came down and paid our sin debt with his own blood? And he didn't have to do it, but he did, because he loved God the Father first. And then he realized how much God loved his people. And Jesus Christ, being God's son, he loved us too. So he came down knowing that we could not pay our own sin debt, because we were sinful, all of us. And he came down with a mission, and he accomplished it by shedding his blood. Not only did he do that, but he was humiliated. He suffered. He bled and died. He was beat up on. He was spat upon. He was wounded for us, for me, for you. And so I just thank God for what he did for us that we could not do for ourselves. And he paid the price. so that we can be redeemed back to our Heavenly Father and our Creator. So I thank God for Jesus Christ on tonight. He thought our life was worth living. So right now, we're going to bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox, and as soon as he finished his poem reading, he will go directly into the Word. So Deacon Marvin Cox, I am yielding the mic to you at this time.
Amen. Well, I give honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, and I thank the Lord through Brother Brown for giving me another opportunity to bring forth his word. Now, our poem for tonight, you may have noticed that it is Satan started it, but in no way am I glorifying his activities, but this is in coinciding with the message that will soon follow. And it's to let each and every last one of us know who we up against. Satan started it, but you finished it because of your pride. Because of his hellish suggestions, many people have died. He needs someone like us to complete his thought. He's an instigator who'll rarely get caught. He'll turn brother against sister, yes, even husband against wife. Yes, he wants you to have a miserable life. He'll turn nation against nation in a fight to the death, and then they laugh out loud as you take your last breath. On the holy ground his feet cannot trod, he wants you to confide in him rather than God. One of his favorite statements when you are feeling blue is, I wouldn't take that mess if I were you. He'll wreak havoc with your logic, and he will mess up your reason, and he would attempt to destroy your harvest in his short season. Then he'll devise a plan for you to pay the world back, and he'll blow the bugle as you go on the attack. Satan played me like a fiddle, I must admit. Now I got to move out of my way and let God finish it. Amen. As I was saying, that was not to glorify Satan or anything like that, but it was just to let us know that he's a sophisticated individual who knows our likes, our dislikes. He knows what we like better than what we do. So, amen. So our lesson for tonight, coinciding with the literature that I just read you, is being half-dressed on the battlefield. And it's pertaining to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10, really 10 through 20, but I'll read to you from the 6th chapter of Ephesians, from the 10th verse down through the 13th verse. And it reads, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I just read unto you from the King James Version of the Bible, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 13. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may he edify our souls forever. Now, Brother Paul, we're going to start at the 10th verse. It says, finally, my brethren. Paul is addressing the Ephesians to let them know that they're having and they're dealing with a power that is way beyond what they can comprehend. He said, finally. So this is when something is final, or when we say finally, this is the last instructions that we may ever hear. So he's letting each and every last one of us know exactly what it is that we're dealing with. He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So all of these holy instructions that we've been receiving over the years, it's time for us to implement it. It's time for us to recognize things and turn over things into the hands of God. Say, put on the whole armor of God. And that's where the topic is deriving from, that we cannot be on the battlefield half-dressed. We got to go out there with all the equipment that we need. But if you notice, it says, put on your armor. No, because the armor that man makes can very easily, if man can make something, he can devise a plan to counteract that, or he can devise a plan to look at the vulnerabilities of that particular thing. So we must put on, equip ourselves with the whole armor of God. And we know that God's word and all the things that will follow and the following scriptures is going to instruct us, it's going to protect us. So he's telling us that we need to be protected from these things, from that individual that knows us better than ourselves, that can manipulate us when we don't even know that we're being manipulated. But you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And if we expound on the wiles of the devil, we know that this is a guy that a master manipulator. This is a guy that can smile in your face and stab you in the back. If it was permissible, they said that he would even fool the chosen elect. This is the wolf in sheep's clothing that we constantly are hearing about, that we constantly see. He's practicing deceptive practices in order to get you to do what it is. As it said in the poem, he will wreak havoc on your season. He's trying to manipulate us. He's an instigator. He will tell you things, but guess what? He doesn't have any arms. He doesn't have any legs. But he needs someone like us to complete his thought. He will put out an ill feeling out there to make you think that your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your friend, your neighbor, your coworker don't like you, because Satan is the prince of the airways. And he could take your words and twist them, and by the time it reaches the ears of the individual, it's something totally different. They perceive that you're trying to put them down, that you're trying to talk about them. It says, okay, now, verse number 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, I want to stop that right there. God's word is letting each and every last one of us know that this is not a physical battle. This is not a war against humanity, but it is a war to save humanity. It's a war, and when you wrestle with something, what happens? You come into physical contact with it. You have a connection to it. So this is a close in hand-to-hand battle that's about to take place. And Paul is letting us know, the author is letting us know, that we don't wrestle against these things, because, see, a person that's bigger than you, or if you're smaller than someone, they have that ability to overpower you. But sometimes, if we look at it, people will overpower us or attempt to overpower us with foolishness. They will attempt to overpower us with unkind words. So we're not wrestling against that man across the street. And the next verses will let us know exactly who it is that we wrestled against. It said we wrestle, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. So we're talking about fallen angels. We're talking about evil spirits. We're talking about sin. All of these things, if you was to dissect each and every last one of these things, each one of these things that I just mentioned to you are sinful things. And the word of God is letting us know that we're fighting against sin. And see, you can't see, taste, touch, or feel sin, but it's ever present before you. It's always some type of negative influence out there that is trying to overtake you. It's always something that will try to convince you that things are not as they seem, and that your perception of things, that someone is out there trying to take advantage of you, or someone is out there trying to use you or manipulate you. So God's word is letting each and every individual that's under the sound of my weak voice know this evening that what we're wrestling against, what we're up against, is not on a normal basis. We're wrestling not in a natural, but we're wrestling in the supernatural. That's why it's imperative that each and every last one of us put on the whole armor of God. It's just like a fireman who would be probably the most well-equipped individual that I know. He goes into a fire. He has on his breathing apparatus. He has on his helmet. He has on his waterproof suit. He have on his breathing tank. He have an axe. He have on the boots. He have on everything. He goes into the fire with his whole armor. Because if he wasn't in that fire half dressed or without his helmet on or without his raincoat on, he surely would perish in his battle with that blaze. So God's word is letting us know that we must put on his whole armor. He said, therefore, take up the whole armor that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And to withstand something means that when the turbulence is going on around you, when it seems like there's no slack coming, when it seems like there is no way out for you, when gloom and doom seems like it's imminent, what is about to overpower you, that's when you withstand, when your friends turn against you, when you can't find a friend nowhere, when it seems like you just can't catch no break. The word is letting each and every last one of us know this evening that you got to be able to withstand it. And then after you withstand it, you got to stand against it. Because it's a popular saying that back maybe in the 50s or 60s that if you give Satan an inch, he will take a mile. So we cannot afford to take no backward step. This means to stand your ground. This means that it's time for us to advance instead of retreat. It's time for us to win this battle. It's time for us to stay where it is that we need to stay, to be strategic in our planning, to put everything that we have learned, all the principles of God, to practice these things, to implement these things. Because if we give one inch, and you know how sometimes when you work hard for something, I've heard many people say, I want to move forward. I don't want to go backwards. I don't want to put myself in that position that I got to cover this ground all over again. It says, stand therefore, verse number 14, having girded your waist with truth, having put on. Okay, we're going to expound on girdling your waist with the truth. And this is known as the belt of truth. If you look at an outfit, we know that the belt is an anchor. That's an anchor for your whole outfit. You put on that belt, you could put all types of, as a tool man come to your house, or telephone man come to your house to install your telephone. You say he got everything except for a chicken sandwich on that belt. He comes in there, he got his wire, he got his pliers, he got his hammer, he got his screwdriver, he got his everything that he need, and it's anchored by that belt. If you look at a policeman, he has his mace. He has his nightclubs, he has his flashlight, he has his handcuffs all on his waist. And he has a strap across his waist to hold up the truth. So it's time for us to gird ourselves. When you gird yourself, you surround yourself, you secure yourself. So it's saying that we must gird ourselves and wrap it about our loins. And we know that this right here protects our torso, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now we know the breastplate is something that covers our major organs. It covers our heart, our liver, our lungs, our spleen, our pancreas, and so forth and on. And it's vital. It's very vital to us to protect these things, because the heart, we know that the heart is the most vital organ of the body. They say that the heart and the brain, but the heart and the brain are compatible one with the other. We know that in order for us to sustain life, that we have to protect our heart. So the breastplate of salvation, the breastplate will provide us with that safety that we need. We cannot get along without, we cannot succeed, we cannot survive in this world if we don't have our heart protected. And I'm going to get back to why we need to protect our hearts in a few minutes. because sometimes the heart is not what you think it is. The heart is basically located in your brain, because they say what's in the heart reaches the heart. But this is basically dealing with feelings. But we're going to go to the command post of the body, which is the brain. So moving right along, it said, with truth and heaven on the breastplate of righteousness. So we're going to digress back to the truth for a minute. See, when you know the truth, then you know exactly what it is that you're standing for. You know exactly what it is, what your cause is. You're not going to vary from the truth no matter what, because there's so many falsities and so many misrepresentations in this world that sometimes we don't know the truth. And when we bring forth that truth, or we realize the truth, we realize that, excuse me, we realize that we have gotten far away from what it is that we need to pursue. So my brothers and my sisters, excuse me, we must gird ourselves with the truth. If you notice, it said that the truth is the first thing that we need to know, because it's been many times that we have pursued a lie, and then we realize that that lie was not the truth, and it stopped us in our track because we were going after a falsehood. But see, God is real. God will provide. Okay, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, if you notice, it's going over each and every part of the body that needs to be protected. We're protecting ourselves with the breastplate of righteousness. And now we're going down to the feet. We girded ourselves. We have all our equipment in place in order to do what it is that we need to do. Now, one of the most important parts of the body is the feet, because the feet must take us over rough terrain. The feet must be able to transport us. The feet take more pounding and more punishment, and is more useful, anatomically speaking, than any other part of the body. There's more sweat glands in the feet than it is in any other part of the body. And the reason I'm mentioning that is because that demon, he's not a fair fighter. You're going to put something over there as you're traveling over that over that rough terrain, that if your feet were not protected and you step on it, then next thing you know, through all of those sweat glands in your feet, that's where the invaders come in at. If you notice, when you got a cold or someone has a cold, the last thing you want to do is shake their hand. Why? Because you transform it and you transferring it from one person to another. But we also receive so many illnesses through our feet. So the word is saying that to shod your feet means to cover your feet and to protect your feet, because it might be sharp rocks that you could step on that would disable you. It could be rough terrain or anything that will prevent you from advancing. So as I was saying, we're dealing with someone who knows us much better than we know ourselves. It says, and take the helmet of salvation. Now we're moving up to the head now. See, the helmet of salvation is representing all of these pieces of armor that I mentioned to you are defensive things. They're meant to protect and to deflect. And if you notice, your helmet is for a lot. Your motorcycle drivers wear helmets. Construction workers wear helmets. Your welders wear helmets. And all of this is to protect, as I say, that command center that's on top of your shoulders. Because if you are not careful and you get a concussion, see, when you get a concussion, you don't think right. Your thoughts are jumbled. It disorients you. So it's imperative that we have something to protect our head. And we're talking about the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, we're going to talk about the sword for 1 second. Now, out of all the armor, everything else was armor, but the sword is an offensive as well as a defensive weapon. And God's word says that his word is sharper than any two-edged sword. So it'll be able to cut all the way through the foolishness that your brothers and your sisters are bringing against you. It'll be able to cut through unrighteousness. It'll be able to cut through injustice. It'll be able to cut through all of the things that is going against God. And that's why it's so important. Could you imagine being on the battlefield and fighting with a rusty sword? That's not going to work. And we're going to be going back and forth with the different pieces of armor that the Lord gave it to me. Now we're going to go back to the breastplate because we know that there's going to be some fiery darts that are thrown at us. And we know that these fiery darts, they was not necessarily meant to kill us, but they come, they are a projectile that once they, Stephen, is like someone set your shield on fire with a fiery dart, and your shield becomes engulfed. If you're not careful, you're going to throw that shield down and make you vulnerable in another place. Something like you just pierce your armor just a little bit. And if it's a fiery dart is meant to do what? To inflame you. To get you off your square, to make you mad. And you know when they say an individual is inflamed, that individual has a serious attitude. And that's why the author was letting us know that we got to be able to stand. We got to be able to consider. We got to be able to know what the difference is. Now we're going to go back to the heart again because he's a master manipulator. We're going to go to, and we know that those people that we have around our heart, we got to be careful. And when they use words, because see, anything is a weapon to Satan. Words are a weapon. I'm going to give you a good example. How many times have you been in an argument or a disagreement with somebody and they said something uncomplimentary to you and it really, really hurt your feelings? And so later on, after you collect yourself, say, well, you know, I really disapprove of that what you said to me. And we make a statement like this: you know what? You really hurt me to my heart. So those fiery darts are made to penetrate your armor, just to go subcutaneous, just to go right below the surface and then infect the whole body, because when our thoughts is not as they should be, when our thoughts is not in one accord with what God would have us to do, then we begin to be leery in our faith. Because we don't have on the whole armor of God. I don't know whether you ever seen this movie called The Exorcist, when the devil used this individual's mother against him. And she was saying, why are you doing me like this? Why are you doing me like this? So we have to be able to tell, because it's not above him, it's not below him to use someone that you're very familiar with, somebody who has some connection around your heart against you. Because you're out there momentarily, you say to yourself, man, I'm fighting against my mama. I'm fighting against this person. It will halt you in your tracks. So we have to be able to decipher who it is and what it is that we're fighting against. Say, fighting against principalities, powers, dark powers. So whatever it is that can be used against you, the devil, which is said the wiles of the devil, he got them at his disposal. He can pull these things out, and all it takes is for one individual to be distracted from what it is to what they got to do. And as Brother Brown's theme is and always has been, you become a liability instead of an asset. Have you ever went to work, those people that worked in a factory or those people that, you know, work in areas that you might need some type of safety equipment, and the boss sent you home? Why? Because you didn't have one of your steel-toed boots. Because you'd be a liability to the company if something fell on your foot. Or they sent you home because you didn't have on your safety goggles. Or they sent you home because you didn't bring the right equipment. So I'm saying, my brothers and my sisters, this time for each and every last one of us to put on the whole armor. And as I was telling you earlier, this armor is not man-made. This armor is to protect us, and protect us in such a way. But we have to have that one mindset. We have to strive for that one accord, which is Christ Jesus. We got to go forward in his name. We can't think about that fried chicken at home. We can't think about what it is, because, see, this is a battle. And it's a battle for your soul. So, see, it's not a battle for humanity's sake, but this is a spiritual battle that has been waged. But God is using each and every last one of us for an instrument to fight this battle, to bring that demon down to his knees, to slow his pace, to not allow him to take that which not belong to him, which is souls, which is a possession of God, which is the children of God, which is God's house. If we're not careful, just look around. Look how Satan is occupying all of these things that I just mentioned. Look how he has situated himself, not only in high places, but in high offices, in positions of authority, where they have very influential, and people are following these people. People are following that spirit. So, my brothers and sisters, it's careful time. It's time to keep that armor on. And if you notice, when you first put on armor, or you first put on a uniform, you have to become adjusted to wearing that uniform. You got to become adjusted to having all the equipment that it entails in order to be secure. You got to get adjusted, because see, that breastplate is custom fit for nobody but you. Your sister, your mother, your brother, your father, your wife, nobody can put that on. It's tailor-made by God. That helmet of salvation, it's not going to fit nobody's head but your own. That, let's say, the shoes. Now, one of the worst things you can do is put on somebody else's shoes. I'm telling you, you'd be crying, because you might wear the same size, but this person might wear a size 10 wide. This other person might wear a size 10 narrow. Other person might wear a size 10 triple E. Now, you try to put that 10 triple E and a 10 narrow, and I guarantee you that those puppies is going to cry. Those corns is going to protest against the wear of the shoes. Going to make you pull off to the side of the road and attend to your feet. That's why all of these things, we cannot worry about them. That's why we got to be properly fitted. And one thing about the armor of God that I noticed, it's not anything on the armor of God to me that watches your back. And as I was studying, I said, well, Lord, why is it that, this is what I'm asking myself, Lord, why is it that there's nothing to protect your back? And it takes me over there to, I think it's St. John, where the Lord told Satan, get thee behind me. So if I'm advancing and something, and I'm putting something behind me, I should never have to worry about it overtaking me. Why? Because I have overcame that. And once you overcome something in the Lord, we're not supposed to allow it to catch up with us ever again. And I said to myself, wow, that really is interesting. Got all of this equipment, all of this armor to protect our front, to protect our head, to protect our breast, to protect our loins, to protect our feet. We don't have nothing to protect our back. But the answer would be, God got your back. God will protect you. He will not allow something to sneak up on you. Why? Because it's always around. It's always behind you. And it brings to my mind that a jet plane doesn't have any rearview mirrors. It's constantly moving ahead. It's constantly progressing. And this is how we should be in the Lord. We shouldn't be worried about what's behind us. You don't believe me? Ask Lot's wife. She had to take that one final peep, and it cost her. So when you're advancing in the name of the Lord and you got all of this holy protection around, you got on the helmet, you got on the breastplate, you got on, as I said, you got your loins girdled, you got your feet, and you got your sword, which is the best defensive weapon. You could use that word of God to protect yourself at all times, to deflect. And as I say, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It will cut clean through the bone. It will cut the marrow. It will guide you the way in which you need to go. Because if you're concentrating on anything else except for the word of God, you want to use your helmet as a battering ram, then your head is unprotected. You want to take off your belt and whoop somebody with it, then your pants going to fall down and you're still unprotected. So either way it goes, let every piece of armor that God has given you, let it stay in place. Let it, as they say, let it do what it do. My brothers and my sisters, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being half-dressed. I'm tired. I feel a breeze. I say, I don't know about you, but I feel a breeze. I need all six of these things that the word just indicated to protect me. And they work in tandem, one with the other, because any vulnerability that you have, the wiles of the devil is familiar with that. Any type of weakness, vulnerability, or any type of thing that you may be leering in, he knows how to manipulate that. But there are people that you favoritize, people that can get to you that when no one else can get to you. On that battlefield, believe it or not, you're going to look over to your left or look over to the right, and you're going to say, wait a minute, what is my uncle doing in the foxhole with me? But that's just a distraction. That's just a distraction, because it's time for us to be so busy doing what it is, advancing, holding our ground, being able to withstand, that we don't have time to look and see who's over here. Don't have time to stop and pause and say, wait a minute, I know you, don't I? But I'm telling you, you do not know that demon, that prince of power, that fallen angel, that spiritual wickedness in high places. You don't know him like you think you know him. You're just familiar with him. But he's also familiar with you. You know of him, because if you knew him, every chance you got, you would try to put your foot on his head. There was a song that was saying, don't let the devil drive. As many people started off with somebody else, and then that other person convinced them, hey, let me do this and let me do that. Even that snake on the side of the road that our president used in his campaign. So you knew doggone well I was a snake before you let me in. So why should we patronize those things which we know can do us great harm? Why should we patronize those things that is against God? Because God's word says a friend of the world is enmity against Christ. So it's time for self-examination. Now, I'm going to ask you, what pieces of your armor, of God, the whole armor of God, do we need to put on? What piece do I need to put on? It's self-examination time. And if we don't have on that whole armor, I promise you that whatever area that's unprotected, that's where the attack is going to be waged at. If you don't have it, if you don't have on your helmet, guess what? And in everyday life, if you go out in the wintertime with no hat on, next thing you know what? You got a head cold. If you go out without no shoes in the middle of the time, guess what? Your feet are frostbit. You go out without a hat on, you're going to get sunburned. So there are protective measures for each and every piece of armor. As I said, it's to protect us. Even our clothing is meant to protect us. You notice cotton fabrics in the summertime, what they do, they breathe. They take sweat off your body. And then other, in the wintertime, they got fabrics that pull the sweat away from your body, but they don't get wet. They don't soak. They don't, which will cause you to shiver, which will cause you to get cold. So everything that we do, as I say, from our sunglasses, our hats, our shoes, and that's shoes for many, many, almost every occasion you could think of. You've got your dancing shoes, you've got your work shoes, you've got your tennis shoes, you've got your gym shoes, you've got your docker shoes. So if we can think enough of ourselves to buy this particular equipment when we're doing things for the world, when we're doing things for ourselves, why can't we equip ourselves with that which God has told us to put on? Now, I would be really poor in my spirit if I were to not prepare myself, if I didn't prepare my feet, if I didn't gird my loins, if I did not protect my chest. Because, as I say, wherever there's a weakness or wherever the body can be compromised, that's where the attack is going to come forth. And we know that that demon nowadays is getting more and more sophisticated. They found out that you got an alarm on your door. You got an alarm on all of your windows. So what they're doing now, I know in Detroit what they're doing now, when they're breaking into stores, they're coming through walls and they're coming through the ceiling. They're not coming through those places that are well fortified. Then the owner get there and say, oh, well, they just broke into my establishment. Where'd they come through? They come through the wall. But if you protect it all the way around, then you don't have to worry about this intrusion that that demon is trying to implement against you. You don't have to worry about being taken advantage of. You don't have to worry about him doing what he was set out to do, to kill, steal, and destroy. So we got to put ourselves in the best possible position to be able to, as I say, to protect ourselves, to deflect, but most importantly, that sword. If you got that sword, see, that sword, as I say, you can protect, you can deflect, and you also can use it. It's the only offensive weapon we got, and that's the sword. And God has given it to us, but what is the sense of me having the sword when it's rusted in the belt, when it's rusted in the sheath, I'll put it that way. So I'm just saying that it's time for us to truly, truly take a look at things and not allow these things to overtake us. When you see wrong, it's time to speak out against it. Because as I say earlier, if you're given an inch, it'll take a mile. Because there's always people out there that's trying you to see what they can get away with to get you to bow down, even if you don't mean it, like they did in Daniel. They bow down even if you don't mean it. But now is not the time to give ground. Now is the time to gain ground and not to surrender that ground. So, my brothers and my sisters, I thank you once again for this opportunity to allow me to come into your house to tell each and every last one of us, especially myself, that it's time to fortify myself with the whole armor of God so that I can protect myself and also that I can protect those. I know it's an individual war, but my knowledge and my armor may keep that demon from attacking my family, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my friends, my nieces, my nephews, because he's going to come at that one individual that has given him more resistance. See, not what's the sense in going after something that you already got possession of? People always try to get that which they don't have. So that strong man, and God's word is constantly talking about the strong man of the house. If you overtake him. So whatever your position is, might not even be a man, but you can be the strong man of your house, which I'm talking about is your body temple. You know, a lot of words we may say, and we might literally speak it, but each and every last one of us are the protectors of our own. You know, I'm the master of my body temple. So it's time to protect our body temple. It's time for us to sign up. It's time for us to put on that whole armor so that we'll be able to stand. Now's the time for each and every last one of us to rise up off our seat and to stand and stand for the Lord in such a way that we don't allow the spiritual wickedness in high places, these powers of darkness of this age. And we know that each age is getting a little bit more wickeder, but wiser. So I thank you for this opportunity to bring forth God's word. And may God bless you, and he ever keep you. And I turn you over into the hands of Brother Brown. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And what a mighty word on tonight. Half dressed on the battlefield. And while you were speaking that word, such an awesome we're living in now, I failed to mention our spiritual food for thought. And that also kind of ties in with your message for tonight. If I'm not mistaken, I did not do our spiritual food for thought tonight. And again, it kind of ties in with tonight's message. Tonight's spiritual food for thought, which I should have read earlier, says to us, God is trying to get the attention of all mankind in these last and evil days. Again, tonight's spiritual food for thought, and this goes to all of us, God is trying to get the attention of all mankind, men, women, boys, and girls, in these last and evil days, because we see what's going on in the world, and it kind of ties in with the word on tonight through Deacon Marvin Counts. The Lord has allowed, I believe, like I said on Thursday night, I believe he's allowing all the different hurricanes to happen. You see, we have four different hurricanes going on at the same time. People are losing their homes, and you see wildfires all over the West Coast and like 40 and 50 different places at one time. And we have all these different people in wicked men in high places and office. And so we know that God sometimes allows things to happen to get our attention, and I believe that's what he's doing now. So we need to get it together, people of God. If you're not saved in Jesus' name, get to know Jesus Christ. Today is a good day to confess and be saved in Jesus' name so that you can fulfill your God purpose. And for those that are saved, continue to stand on the battlefield. Continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Continue to know that you have the whole armor of God on, that he's got your back, and you're fighting a good fight of faith. And like Deacon Cox said, the enemy comes. He's still doing the same thing. He's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. Not only churches, marriages, and homes, and families, but nations and communities. And that's what he's doing. He's on his job. But Jesus is soon to come, and I believe the Lord is allowing all these different things that's going on in the world to let us know and let us see that Jesus Christ is soon to come again. So it's later than you think it is. Don't be caught half-dressed on the battlefield. That's the message on tonight. Deacon Robert Cox, we thank you for that powerful word on tonight and that awesome poem. So right now we're going to get ready to close out tonight's program. I pray that someone was blessed on tonight. Most of all, I pray that someone was saved through the word tonight, that God would be glorified through it. It's our prayer that you was blessed by this entire broadcast. So we get ready to close out in prayer. I'm asking all listeners to go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, listen again, in the name of Jesus, we come once again to say thank you for who you are. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness toward each one of us. We don't deserve it. We're not worthy of it, but we thank you for it. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are in total control at all times, no matter what it looks like, no matter what we hear or what we see or what we think. You are in total control, and you sit high and you look low and you change not. So we think that there's no failure in you. And we thank you that the blood of Jesus still works, and it will never lose its power. So we just thank you for this worldwide platform, this worldwide broadcast, and all those that come forth bringing the word of God, the good news of Jesus Christ. Continue to bless each one as they continue to deliver your word. Continue to bless this broadcast that it will become more than we could ever imagine or think, that you will be glorified through it all. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Continue to bless the listeners and give them and grant them the desires of their hearts, as they continue to be doers of your word and not hearers only, is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. Well, until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Again, we're going out with, we always, for lately, for what the world is going through, we need to be praying one for another. So we're going to play that again on tonight. Pray for me. Until the next time, good night.
Come on, KD.
An old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm gonna sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir.